Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Brad Powers, college football professional better. Catch him at covers. He will join us and we'll go over college football week one, week zero, best bets, futures, awards, Heisman, you name it. Excited to talk to Brad, get his thoughts on some of these top teams. So we're almost there, just a couple weeks away, and we start, you know, Saturday, August 29th. We're getting there. They're not quite there yet, but you look at week one and week zero, I guess, and it's a little later this year. I feel like that Saturday, August 29th is when it starts. That's usually more week one as opposed to week zero. Usually in past years, it's more like August 22nd, 23rd, so everything feels pushed back a little bit, where August 29th is almost usually closer to Labor Day and the start of everyone playing. So it was kind of weird and awkward that they started that way. I know for years it was just everybody played week one, and you go back far enough, NFL was on week one too, on Labor Day too, that weekend. And that was just, it was too much, I think, for NFL, for the rating standpoint. People are away on Labor Day. They felt it was better if you wait. But regardless, you get a bunch of games here Saturday, August 29th. So excited to talk to Brad about it, starting with TCU laying 6.5 to North Carolina. North Carolina, we'll see what year two of Belichick brings. They've been in the news recently. That's a situation that I would say right now, and I'm rooting for it to work, kind of 50-50 that Belichick is back for a third year. And you're starting to wonder, man, I know he got a paycheck and everyone else got a paycheck. And this is, he's accomplished everything he could accomplish. But you wonder if he was so good on TV, you wonder if he was just better off just doing TV and riding out the rest of his career that way. But hey, these guys all love the coach. He had an axe to grind, a point to prove after nobody in the NFL wanted him. And it just it hasn't gone well. So we know how it went last year. Speaking of Labor Day, that was Labor Day Monday night, that night where UNC went up right away 7-0, and then TCU absolutely beat him like a drum the rest of the game. Carolina played a little better the rest of the season, but it's hard to have too much faith in Carolina. I know different teams, different quarterback for TCU. Hoover's now at Indiana, but that'll be an interesting game. I'd probably lean TCU there. USC versus San Jose State. USC laying 36.5. Lincoln Riley always kind of a bully, runs up the score. Keep in mind, for these USC games, Lincoln Riley's one of the few coaches that likes to take the ball first. Most of these coaches defer, so doesn't really apply here. But in games where you can get USC at a reasonable price to score the first point of the game, that's something to keep in mind. Virginia -5.5 against NC State. NC State's a team a lot of people like, think could be a sleeper. I know Kev O'Neill was on with us last week. He mentioned them as a sleeper in the ACC, kind of a dark horse team. So they're catching 5.5. And then you get, you know, North Dakota State laying 7.5 to Jacksonville State. Eastern Michigan laying 8.5 to Sacramento State. And then Stanford laying 4 to Hawaii. The get-out game they played last year in week zero as well. And Hawaii, they won by 3 late. It was a pretty good game, you know, Stanford had opportunities to win, so we'll see if Stanford can get some revenge. The week one game is not as great. You know, last year you got Texas, Ohio State, and Clemson, LSU was a very, you know, highly anticipated game. And they've done it really, I'd say the last 10 years or so, it's become more of a trend where you just get a handful of marquee matchups in week one, and you get games that it's not just, you know, 40-point spreads. It's not all cupcakes. You get some good matchups. This year, it's not really the case, so there's not a ton of games to really sink your teeth into. LSU's playing Clemson again. Clemson's supposed to be way down. I mean, seeing Clemson getting 10 points, I'd actually lean towards Clemson there. I think Dabo could be good in that role as an underdog. Obviously, high expectations for LSU, who's laying 10. But there's not a ton of games. Florida plays Florida Atlantic. UCLA versus Cal. Okay. Washington versus Washington State, that's Sunday, September 6th. Ole Miss versus Louisville is September 6th as well. And then you get Notre Dame and Wisconsin. Notre Dame laying 3 touchdowns. Ole Miss, like I said, laying 6.5 to Louisville. I know a lot of people think Louisville's live in that game. And then SMU, Florida State, that's the Monday night game on Labor Day. And Florida State was on Labor Day a couple years ago against BC. It's like 20-point favorites and lost. It was never in the game. That was the year it just got off the rails for Florida State. They lost overseas, and then they never got back on track. They were just a disaster that season. So that's kind of a weird Monday night game. But we'll talk to Brad Powers. We'll get his thoughts on all these games, futures, awards. I made this point I do feel like it's a good college football year because there's so many quarterbacks. You know, there's so many good quarterbacks. There's so many returning quarterbacks. I think NIL, for as much as we don't like it in certain aspects, it does do a good job of keeping these kids in school and well paid. And hey, if I'm making a decent buck in college, I'm going to stay here and make my money and be in college for a few years. So there's some more recognition where you look at the quarterbacks, you look at the Heisman odds, there's immediately 15, 20 quarterbacks you know and recognize, you know the names, you know what school they're at, you know all this stuff. And at least it gives you that from a familiarity, a continuity standpoint, where you're not just completely starting over from scratch. I know the returning starters, it's not like it used to be where, you know, teams would return half the team. That just doesn't happen anymore. These teams are so much in flux, but having the quarterbacks at least gives you something you can sink your teeth into, something to build around, where, all right, I know this guy, I know that team, and you don't feel like you're going in to the season just completely out of the loop. You have something, some frame of reference, which I think is good. And just a lot of depth. I mean, Avery Johnson's still at Kansas State. Utah still has Dampier. You got, obviously, Arch at Texas and Stockton at Georgia, the Ohio State quarterback, the Notre Dame quarterback, Underwood's at Michigan, Mateer's at Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's another team, 7.5. That looks a little light for the win total. I know you got to pay some juice on the over, but they've got a defense, probably, I think, a top five defense. And they've got a quarterback that might go in the first round. It'll be interesting how many of these guys go in the first round. You could be looking at a bunch of first-round quarterbacks going here. This could be one of those years. 2018 was a great quarterback class. You go through, you know, some of these years that have 5-6 quarterbacks that go in the first round. This could be one of those years with all these talented quarterbacks that are still in college. That, you know, Dante Moore at Oregon, Chambliss at Ole Miss. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks. I don't know that Chambliss isn't a first round type of talent. I think he would have gone if he did, but who knows? Maybe he can play himself into that position. So should be a fun college season. It should be fun talking to Brad Powers. We will do that next. This Should Have Been More podcast. We'll be right back. All right, Should Have Been More podcast. Talk a little college football. There's nobody better than our next guest. You catch him in Covers, Hit the Books podcast. It is the great Brad Powers. Brad, thanks for coming on. Good to see you. What is this time of the year? Somebody who bets college football year round. Is this, you know what, you take a deep breath and you just kind of wait for the season? What's your work day like here day to day? And appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, nothing has changed for me. I mean, obviously, you know, since I'm back kind of in Midwest Ohio, you know, hay's in the barn, and, you know, so, I mean, the crop's been harvested. Now it's just, you know, wait and see, if how much we're going to get paid on that crop for this year. So, certainly I haven't, you know, made my last bet as far as the off season goes. I mean, I'll probably crank it up as teams start practice next week. Maybe we'll have a key injury or two, but what shifts for me is I become more news, you know, related than anything as far as betting, than just, you know, betting my personal numbers and seeing, you know, the, you know, how much disparity there is between some markets. So that's kind of the only difference there, but it's not like all of a sudden now I'm cramming for a college test and I'm putting 100-hour work weeks in. No, that's why you work 6 months of the off season until this point, so you don't have to do that.
As someone who bets the other sports like I do, and I'm betting baseball every day and these other sports, I felt like in the past couple of years I've had to cram, and use the word, and it's the perfect word, I've had to cram for college. I feel like it's less so this year, where you can look at just something like the Heisman odds and go, okay, I know this quarterback's on that team. I know Arch Manning's on Texas. I know Stockton's on Georgia. I recognize right away a good like 15, 20 quarterbacks where I couldn't probably say that last year or the year before. Do you feel like things are more settled, that we haven't had as much turnover and is not as chaotic here getting ready for the season, learning these teams?
So I'll say three things. First, you mentioned quarterbacks. I think this is the best group of quarterbacks we maybe ever had in college football. Whether it's, you know, the top three or four guys, or you go right on down the line, like you mentioned, 15, 20, 25 guys. Very experienced group. I'll go on record and say it'll set the NFL draft record as far as the first three rounds. I think the record is only 8 in the first three. I think we'll have more than that in the first three for next year's draft. So kudos. If you like college football and you like quarterback play, you're in store for a great season. As far as the, you know, less, you know, movement, well, I mean, returning starters are still at an all-time low. I keep track of this. 7.8 is the average. You know, 5 years ago, that average was like 13. So 5 starters per team less than what you're accustomed to. With that being said, third thing I'll say is, no, you're kind of right. And I think that the culprit being There wasn't a second transfer portal window post spring. So, you know, you probably got, even if you weren't diving into college football every single day, well, the transfer portal was back in January. So I'm sure in the last 6-7 months, you kind of got around to a lot of these teams on who got who as far as the transfer portal. So that certainly helped as far as prep, more prep on the front end. I was doing more work in February and March than I'm accustomed to, but shoot, to not have a portal post spring, was a blessing.
Saturday, August 29th, it gets going. TCU laying 6.5 to UNC. That day, you also have USC laying a big number to San Jose State, 36.5. Virginia and State, NC State, not a bad game. I know a lot of people like NC State. Virginia's laying 5.5 there. Anything week zero or week one, Hawaii, Stanford, they played again last year. Stanford's laying 4. Anything at these current numbers that you think is worth a bet right now that you think might move?
I think TCU game closes at least 7. So I'd lay the 6.5 there if you just want to get in front of a market. My numbers agree with that, too. And then North Carolina seems to be, you know, could be pretty combustible this year. So I don't mind that bet. I have bet Stanford. I think they're still playable. There's still plenty of 4s. In fact, there's even a couple 3.5s out there. Hawaii's top wide receiver. I don't know if he'll be ready for that game. And I just like Stanford with revenge. I thought Stanford should have beaten Hawaii last year, and Stanford this year is the more experienced team. Stanford also getting this game at home instead of traveling to the island. So Stanford for me. The UNLV game's starting to leak out a little bit. I did bet them, but that's already up. I mean, people are betting the Rebels. That's up 2.5 points already. So that's a bet that I've had. I'll be contrarian. Seems like, I mean, I know a lot of people like NC State, but the market's moving the other way. But with that being said, you know, 6 is starting to creep up there in a couple shops. I'll take a 6 with NC State.
How about week one? Just looking through some of these games, you know, Colorado, Georgia Tech. It's not the typical, like the last few years we've had, and really the last decade, they've done a better job of giving us marquee games week one where there's a bunch of games you're just dying to watch. Clemson, LSU, I mean, there's some decent games, but anything week one you think is still on the board that's bettable and worth getting in front of?
You know, let's just, you know, because night by night, people want action every night. Thursday, I think the best play still, if you can get a 7. I don't like Colorado this year, but I'll take the 7. I'm down on Georgia Tech, losing both hotshot coordinators, Haynes King. I know Mendoza's brother is going to, you know, came in and is the transfer quarterback for Georgia Tech. If he was so great, Cignetti would have kept him at Indiana. So I'm not buying him. So Colorado for me, night one. Night two, don't mind Toledo. I think Toledo, in fact, with it being a double-digit underdog, is kind of live in that game. I think they upgraded significantly as head coach. And I'm not buying Pat Fitzgerald. I don't think he's an upgrade over Jonathan Smith. So Toledo plus the points for me. I'll fade that line move. Saturday, I mean, obviously a big card. There's a 10.5 out there on Tulane. Don't mind that. I bet that number at current. I think UCLA beats Cal, so anything picker better if you get a plus sign next to UCLA. Like that bet quite a bit. Mark, it's starting to leak a little bit on Clemson. I did get involved with that. Anything above 10, I think Clemson. I'm not buying at least Lane Kiffin in year one. I don't think he's as good as advertised.
How about for conferences? Let's just go ACC. Miami's the chalk. Their odds on. Amazing. They've never won this conference. That's a stat you'll hear all the time. Is it as simple as, you know what, you bet Miami and come that first week in December, you're happy you have that number. They'll probably be in the game. They'll probably be a significant favorite. Is there somebody longer down the board here you want to take a shot at? Give me a thought or two on the ACC. Big picture from a conference standpoint.
I like Miami. I know people aren't going to like laying juice and having it, you know, the books hold your money for 4 months, but and they've never won it. But I'm here to tell you, they're going to win it this year. I would have them a 10-point favorite over the number 2 team, SMU.
Big 12, same sort of thing with Texas Tech. Is it just as simple as, you know what, bet it now? It's boring. It's going to be, you know, it's not you know, like you're getting a huge return, but you're going to be happy you have it in December. I know I've heard people like Kansas State, people made the case for BYU, but you tell me, is there a bet to be made here at Big 12?
No, I still like Tech would be my still favorite bet on the board there. Again, similar situation. They're going to make unlike, you know, Miami might suffer an upset loss or two because that's what crystal ball does. I mean, Tech doesn't play BYU or Utah. They host Houston. They don't play Kansas State. I mean, it's a dream schedule. And I know the Sorsby issue, you know, in, out, obviously he's out now. And will Hammond be fully 100% healthy at the start of the season? But I'm here to tell you that's still by far the best roster. Bet Tech. if you want to play another team, I think BYU's better than the last 2 years, and they went 23-4 the last 2 years. Bear Bachmeyer was a legit freshman last year starting for him, and somehow they won 12 games. So BYU would be that next team in line if you can get 4-1 or better there.
How about the Big Ten? It's I think the three-team race, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, all 3-1 or less. You know, Penn State, obviously a good schedule. I don't know if Big Ten title game is realistic for them, but you tell me anything you like here. And obviously USC, Michigan in that 15-1 range. Is there anything that's worth a bet here?
Nah, nothing major. I took a little bit of a flyer on Penn State because their schedule is so nice, but they're not going to win it. I was just thinking, you know, maybe I can hedge once they make the title game, but it's going to be one of those three teams. And 3-1 is not too appetizing, at least at this point. If you're asking for a winner, I think it'll be the Ducks.
Yeah, I'm with you. And what do you make of Oregon and their exits the last 3 years? A couple years ago, or was it 3 years ago now, 2023, last Pac-12 title game ever, and I had tickets on Knicks, Oregon to make the playoffs, Oregon to win it all. They're 8-10-point favorites against Washington, and they're never in the game. And then the last 2 years, you know, Ohio State, that game's 40-0 basically before the national anthem is over. And then last year, Indiana ran them off the field. Is this small sample size? It happens. Is this a concerning trend for you? What do you make of Oregon's exits the last few years?
It's a great question. I think it's the question when you're talking about the Ducks this year, because personnel-wise, I like their roster more than any roster in college football. But it's tough getting over these. And in fact, rematches the last 2 years, and they were way worse than they were the first game. Obviously, the Ohio State game, the Buckeyes had revenge. Maybe that's kind of understandable because they were such a wagon that year, the Buckeyes losing the Rose Bowl. Last year, losing on your home field to Indiana, and then getting Indiana again, and it's way worse, not even in the game. Moore throws a pick six on the first play. And you mentioned that, you know, going back even more, I mean, he couldn't beat Kalen DeBoer. So I like Lanning takes care of business. He wins every single game he's supposed to. But when he comes up against some of the big boys, it leaves a lot to be desired. And he lost both coordinators. So that's my only concern on this year's team. I love Dante Moore. Love the, you know, they get the healthy Stewart back at wide receiver. 1-2 punch is great at running back. Offensive line will be fine. Defensive line is what I really love. They're the best defensive line in the country. They just, I'm predicting them to win their first national title ever. So I guess I'm skeptical, but not enough where I don't think that they won't win it this year.
Yeah, and I know there was some thought last year that the coordinators coached against Indiana, but they had kind of checked out mentally, and that affected the game plan. That affected what happened that Friday night in the semis. SEC, I like Georgia. You're getting a little over 3-1 at FanDuel. Yeah, I know at Bama, at Ole Miss, but you avoid Texas, LSU, A&M, Tennessee. You got a lot coming back. You got a quarterback, Kirby Smart. You know, it's weird to say Georgia's being overlooked because, you know, if we were doing this podcast 2 or 3 years ago, this was their sport. They completely dominated. They've had some, you know, they never should have lost to Ole Miss. They couldn't move the ball against Notre Dame the last couple of years. But I don't know. You tell me, Georgia, somebody else, is there a bet to be made in the SEC?
No, Georgia's the bet to make. They're the most, you know, you talk about, you know, your bets being commodities or stocks. They're the most proven commodity and the most trustworthy commodity. And I'll argue they're better than the last 2 years. They've had a couple of down years, yet they still won the SEC both years. And this year's team's better. This year's team has an easier schedule, in my opinion. They're going to be in the game, whether, you know, it's Texas or somebody else. Maybe Texas has more upside. But again, this is Kirby Smart. He's been there 11 years already. This is his most experienced team as far as returning production. So, but there's a lot to like about Georgia this year. So I think they win their third straight SEC title.
Have you bet anything in the American here as I pull up the odds? Anything in the American as we get to some of these smaller conferences?
Generally speaking, I think it's the most wide open conference in all of college football. I think one of maybe 18 different teams can win it. You know, I'm more, when that's the case, you go long shots. Florida Atlantic was a long shot that I bet. Anything 25-1 or greater, I think is worth a small bet, a pizza bet.
Yeah, I've heard, I think it was Phil Steele made the case for Navy. He thinks they could be a playoff team where their schedule's not that bad, plus 380 to win the American. UTSA,
yeah, they're the favorite, though. You know what I would prefer? You know, I would love Navy this year because all the other teams, South Florida, North Texas, everybody else in that conference seems to be coming down, Memphis. But Horvath, Heidenreich, them guys are staples for 3-4 years for Navy, and they're gone.
How about the MAC, Western Michigan, the short shot? Well, really tied Miami, Ohio, both in that plus 350 range, and Toledo, all 4-1 or less. Then you get Ohio. Is there a bet to be made here in the MAC?
I bet all three. So if one of the three wins, you can, you know, do the math and you can get plus money there. Shop around for the best number. So I, that's what I did personally. If you're asking for best value, Toledo. I think they upgraded it as far as head coach. I know there's some roster turnover. They brought a lot of guys from Mercer, including the FCS Defensive Player of the Year. I like their roster. I like their coaching staff. And they get Western at home and don't play Miami, Ohio. Give me Toledo.
Yeah, and the Toledo, I'm in Connecticut, and the Toledo coach came to UConn here, and I know people are excited about him. I don't know. I think what Mora did at UConn.
I'm afraid I got some bad news.
What's that?
Well, I mean, he's lost 19 times as a favorite in the last 4 years, more than any other coach in college football. Yeah, he won some games at Toledo. He won 2 MAC championships. I'm here to tell you he should have won 7 MAC championships. That's how much, you know, Toledo has as far as talent edges and money edges over the rest of the conference.
And what Mora did with UConn, I mean, that was basically, they were almost like a 1AA team when Mora took over. For him to get him to bowl games and where he got him, I just don't know if that's sustainable. And to me, under 5.5 is a pretty good play. Mountain West, UNLV, the short shot, plus 260. New Mexico is right there, pretty much the same number. Then you've got North Dakota State. Boy, this is a weird conference. And then Hawaii, plus 480. Who do you like here, if anything?
Oh, I think it'll be the winner of New Mexico, UNLV. In fact, I think they rematch one another. So New Mexico might get the first game and UNLV might get the rematch. I think longer shot, Air Force is worth a small bet. But I think sneakily, you know, across the country, I think the winner of this conference might get the bid for the group of six. I think I could see UNLV or New Mexico having the most wins, like 10 wins or more, if you look at their schedules. So, yeah, I don't mind betting either one of them to make the playoff, 12-1 or greater. I think New Mexico is a little higher than UNLV, maybe 16-1 or 20-1-ish.
Man, New Mexico in the college football playoff would be so weird and so fun. I can't picture like
their
that.
Their head coach is legit, though. This will probably be his last year there.
Interesting. And the Pac-12 is back. Boise's the short shot at plus 170. Is that worth a bet? Would you look, you just think same sort of thinking with Miami and Texas Tech where, hey, you just put in an account, they're going to be in the game and you're good to go.
They're going to be favored over anybody else. I know Pac-12 in name only, it's basically the Mountain West. And speaking of the Mountain West, that's all Boise did. Even though they've been down a little bit, they still, that's what they do. 4 straight Mountain West championships. So why wouldn't they win this league?
Heisman, any good numbers still out there? If you like Oregon, do you like Dante Moore? You tell me what interests you from the Heisman standpoint.
Not much, because, I mean, this award's become more of a November award. Whatever the media's, you know, narrative is in November, that's what I prefer. I made a few bets. My first bet, even though I'm not high on it, I bet Arch, believe it or not, because I just think if they beat Ohio State, I mean, he's going to be 2-1 or 3-1. He plays well in the game. He's going to be like 2-1 or 3-1 at that point. So if you like Texas a lot and you think they'll beat Ohio State, you got to bet, you diversify the portfolio and bet a little bit on Arch there. With that being said, I bet Alabama's quarterback, Keelan Russell. I think anything 30-1 or greater there is worth a small bet. You mentioned at the very first part of the show here. There's a lot of proven commodities at quarterback. I don't see, you know, too many long shots coming in because the chances are not all 4 or 5 of those quarterbacks up at the top are going to all have bad seasons. Right. 1 or 2 of the 4 or 5 are going to have great seasons, and it'll just be whoever wins the most games or plays the best in the biggest games in the month of November.
All right, last one. Last year we saw Clemson and Penn State just fall on their face. Do you see is there a top 5, top 10 team this year that we all kind of pencil into the playoff that you think could suffer that sort of trajectory here, or is that just kind of a one-off?
I'm looking towards the SEC because I see a lot of 8-4, 9-3 because of the schedules and because I still think there's some holes in the roster. So I'm selling LSU. I'm selling Texas A&M. If you want a team at the very top of the polls, I think Texas could be combustible. Lose that game to the Buckeyes. Looking at that schedule, I don't trust Sark. I don't think he's that great. Everyone thinks he's the greatest thing ever. I don't see it. Same way, I could say the same thing about Arch. If Arch Manning's last name was Smith instead of Manning, we'd be saying he's a good quarterback, not, you know, some, you know, the second coming of the next, you know, great Manning. I don't see it.
Brad, I appreciate the time, man. Good luck this season. We'll hopefully catch up down the road. Let everyone know where we can find you and where we get your stuff.
Yeah, a lot of free articles and picks at covers.com. You can watch Hit the Books every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern with Joey Kanish and myself, breaking it down, or you can just follow me on Twitter, X, BradPower7.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Brad Powers. Probably off Friday. I'll post something if I do a podcast, but Friday might be a travel day for me in Vegas. So if not, we'll be back on Monday and back into the swing of things and the usual shows as we get going and get geared towards football, which again is right around the corner, preseason starting, college not too far behind. So again, thanks for listening. Leave a review. See you next time.